Ona.
The book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the Word of God in our hands, for salvation free and full and complete, perfect, and for eternity. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your Word one more time. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take your Word and apply it. You change lives today. And I ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen. We all want to run sometimes. I doubt if there's a person in here that hasn't run sometime. There's some of you young mothers just want to get up and scream and run from diapers. Or another baby. Now you're pregnant again. You got more babies you can handle already, and you're pregnant one more time. Huh? I can't stand this! I want to run. My wife used to say, I just like to talk to an adult. It'd be nice to talk to an adult. Sometimes running is a good thing. I heard of a case where a young lady who was a runner, she ran about 5 miles, 5 to 10 miles, 3 or 4 times a week, so she was in very good shape. And she happened to be running, and a rapist came after her. Attacked her, threw her down. But she got loose from his grasp and took off running. Well, after a block, he was winded. You know, she just kept right on going. So running is a defense. I've run a few times in my life and been glad to run. Sometimes we want to run from our marriage. Sometimes we want to run from our job. Sometimes we want to run from our troubles. Sometimes we want to run from our sin. We do a lot of running. Lots of times our running doesn't give us a victory. Lots of times our running is losing. We're quitting on God. We're quitting on the promises. We're quitting on what could be because we run. Interesting thing about Jonah. I have known about Jonah all of my life. My dear old grandmother, she taught me Bible stories all the time while she kept me. And so even though I wasn't saved till later in life, I had a very good Bible background and a knowledge of the Scriptures in a lot of ways, memorized a lot of them. I've gone in neighborhoods just right here in San Antonio and knocked on doors of teenagers that didn't know who Daniel in the lion's den was. Didn't know what the Ten Commandments were. Never been in a gospel church and never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 16-year-old. That amazing? That's amazing to me in this country. You get to be 16 years old and know nothing. Jonah is a preacher of the gospel. Not of the gospel. He was a preacher for God, a prophet for God. And God came to him with a message. He said, Jonah, I want you, it's my will for you to go preach to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh are the enemies of God. They're the enemies of the people of God. This is a heathen city, a great, huge, big, powerful, rich city, but are the enemies of God. Now, I don't know how much Jonah knew I know that when Daniel saw what the world was going to do to the people of God, it made him sick for days. Maybe Jonah knew what Nineveh was going to do to the people of God, and it might have made him sick too. But whatever. And I've heard a lot of speculation on Jonah's reasons. Jonah decided to run. It says he rose up to flee. And he did. In fact, he took his money with him. He said, I'm headed for Tarshish. Now, I have never figured out why he wanted to go to Tarshish, except he thought God wasn't there. He figured, if I can get to Tarshish, this burden won't be on me anymore. You ever thought if you got to a certain place, that burden would leave you and you wouldn't have it anymore? That's a mistake. But anyway, he decides, the Bible says he paid the fare thereof. You always pay the fare when you run from God. There's another sermon right there that I'm not going to preach, but that's a good one. Anytime you run from God, you're going to pay the fare thereof. He paid the fare thereof. He got on the boat and he's riding out there and he's asleep because he is just sure he has escaped the presence of the Lord. God sent a strong wind. And out there on that sea where he is, the waves are rocking that boat to these sailors, these professional sailors, are fearing for their lives, and they are throwing everything over. And they get real religious real quick. They didn't care what religion you had. Whatever religion you had, you start exercising it. I mean, you pray to the rocks, cry to the rocks. If you pray to the God of heaven and earth, cry to Him. We're about to die out here. What are we going to do? And Jonah, just like a lot of backslidden Christians and backslidden preachers, is asleep in the boat. He's not praying. He's the only one who knows the real God, and he's not praying, he's sleeping. Well, they come down and they shake him and they wake him up and they ask him, said, don't you know what trouble we're in? And then they begin to ask him the question, who are you? What kind of work do you do? Preacher? What kind of work do you do? What kind of God do you serve? And before long they had the answer. He served the living God that made the sea and the heavens and the earth and all that there was. And he was running from that God because he didn't want to do his will. And they said, What can we do to appease your God? Here's Jonah's thought again. Cast me into the sea. He thought the sea had hide him from God. He said, cast me into the sea. And they said, okay. But they rowed real hard. Now these were heathen men. They were definitely lost men. But they did not want to have his life upon their conscience. They rowed hard to get that boat to land. But boy, they weren't moving against God's wind. Let little Katrina come along and visit your neighborhood. You find out what God's wind's like. They were in a storm, and God wasn't going to let them out. And so finally they said, oh God, we don't want this man on our conscience. But they threw him in the sea anyway. Now Jonah was sure that was going to get him out of it. But you know what? That sea rolled over him and over him and over him. And all of a sudden a great big fish that God had prepared. Some people say, it's a big fish, so it couldn't be a whale. Read the New Testament. Jesus says whale. Jesus said whale. Jonah never tells you anything but a big fish. But you people from the last 100 years where you start defining animals in the ocean not as fish, and you think you want to put that back on the Bible, writing 3,000 years ago, that the Bible's not accurate. No, stupid, you're not accurate. And if God can make a whale, He can certainly make one with a big enough mouth to swallow Jonah. In fact, I think if God wanted to, Jonah could have swallowed the whale. I don't have a problem with what God can do. You understand me? Now I want you to know Jonah is still fleeing from God and Jonah still doesn't have a good attitude. He's in the whale's belly, and he says he went down to the depths of hell and the bars of it closed over him. And then he remembered the Lord. And he called on the Lord. And the Lord told his fish, go vomit him out on dry land. And old Jonah all of a sudden finds himself covered in intestinal juices and weeds and little fishes and planktons in his ears, in his nose, and all over him. And he spit out on the land. I bet he took a bath real quick. I would have. You know what he was running from? It tells you right here twice. The presence of the Lord. Running from the presence of the Lord. I want you to think with me just a little bit. In Jonah's case, he didn't make it. You know, back there in those days, you can read back in Judges. Sometimes when they were battling somebody, and if the Israelites would win the battle in the valley, they would say, their God is the God of the valley. Let's fight him on the mountaintop. So they go up and get up on the mountaintop, and if they win on the mountaintop, they say, their God's the God of the mountains. So let's fight him in the valley. But you see, the problem when you're fighting God, he's the God of the mountain and the God of the valley. Amen. He's the God of the ocean. He's the God of the fish. He was the God of that whale, and he was Jonah's God, and he'd set his mind that Jonah was going to do what he told him to do. You ever get stubborn with God? That's the most foolish thing you can do. I can't think of a worse way to get yourself in trouble than just get stubborn with the God we serve. He is a loving God and a merciful God, and Jonah knew this, and that was one reason he didn't want to go preach to those Ninevites. He didn't want a revival. He didn't want them to get saved. Well, the people of God are backslidden and living in sin. He sure didn't want that bunch of heathen enemies up there to have the mercy of God and the justice of God and the love of God fall upon them. Now, if you read the rest of this story, when Jonah comes out of the fish's belly, he's got a different attitude. Not that he has a real good spirit. He doesn't. But God tells him the second time. The Lord came to Jonah the second time and gave him his message. Go preach to Nineveh. And he does. Now I want you to notice the message that Jonah preached. He didn't preach salvation. He didn't preach the mercy of God. He didn't preach the greatness of God. He preached the judgment of God. And only the judgment of God. Now, I'm not sure exactly how to judge Nineveh, but it's one big city. At the very last verse or two of the book of Jonah, it tells us there's 600,000 people that don't know the right hand from the left hand. That sounds like 600,000 young people, and maybe there's a bunch of others. It might be the whole land didn't know their left hand from their right hand. But he walks 3 days through this city preaching. God is going to destroy this city. And then he goes and sits outside waiting for God to do it. And do you know what that bunch of heathen did? They did what you ought to do.
Amen.
They repented.
Amen.
They got serious about their sin. They didn't justify themselves. Oh, I really didn't do that. Oh, I don't deserve this. Oh, you're talking to the wrong fella. No, they said, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
It's not my neighbor. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, O Lord, that needs revival. It's me that needs a dose of your spirit. It's me that needs to get right with God. And they took off their fine clothes and went and got a bunch of sackcloth. You know what sackcloth is? It's what you make bags out of. That's sackcloth. You make sacks out of it. Back during the Depression, women made dresses out of it. Sackcloth. And you know what they did? They didn't put on their fine perfume and they didn't put on all their jewelry. They took off all their fine clothes, including the king of Nineveh. And he took ashes out of a heap where there had been a fire, and he threw it over his head, and he's covered, and every time he sweats it runs down, and he looks ugly. He doesn't look proud. And God in heaven heard their prayer. God in heaven saw their repentance. You know, God would see yours if you'd repent.
That's right.
You know what your biggest problem is? You're too righteous. You think you're too good. You don't think you need salvation. You don't think you need forgiveness. You don't think you need a move of God upon your life. Jonah preached to that bunch of heathen and they repented and it made him mad. Greatest revival in the history of the world and he's not happy. Some of you would love to see a soul get saved. You'd love to win one or two or three or ten or twenty. And you don't and you get discouraged and down about it. Jonah wins well over 600,000 and he's not even happy. He's still mad with God because God's merciful, even to the heathen. Jonah tried to run from the presence of the Lord. Now turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 139, verse 7. Amen. You ought to wake up, Christian friend.
Amen.
You can't run from God.
That's right.
And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not born again, if you died, you did not know you'd go to heaven. You can't run from God either.
That's right.
Look what it says. Beginning at verse 7, Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Amen.
You know what Jonah found out? He found out God was not only where he lived. God was in Nineveh. God was in Tarshish. God was out on the sea. God was under the sea. God was with the whale. God was on the dry land. And finally, when they got to Nineveh, God was in Nineveh. You know, old Jonah, he was a smart man. I have no doubt the man knew much about God. But you know, he just got stubborn. Some of you are just that way. You know better, but you just get stubborn. You just decide, I'm not going to do God's will. You just stubborn. And you stood up there and let God take this away, take this away, take something else away, take something else away, take your peace away, take your sleep away, take your health away. You know, God can put you in a box any day He wants to. You think, boy, I'm strong and I've had a strong body all my life. Strong will. I had a cousin about 15 years older than me said I was born fighting. Came out of the womb fighting. So I guess I've had this stubbornness in me all my life. But you know what I've learned? I can't fight God.
That's right.
I cannot win fighting God. You can't run from God.
That's right.
Because everywhere you go, He's there. He was there ahead of you. He'll be there after you leave. You can't find a spot. Jonah thought, okay, I'll get on a ship and I'll get away from this land. This is God's land. I'm going to get away from Him out here. But God knew where he was on the ship. He said, throw me into that ocean. He figured, surely that'll cover me. It didn't cover him. God was there. Got him down in there and there's this, can you imagine being swallowed by a whale? How about you walking along and I'm not just talking about a great white shark. I'm talking about a great big humpback whale. Whoom! Now you got your nice little room with your couch over here and your table over here while you're eating your weeds down in the side of the belly of that whale. All the comforts of home. And God's there to hear your prayer. You can't run from God. That's what David's trying to tell you. If you go up to heaven, he's there. Oh, well, surely if I go to hell. No, my friend, some of you are laughing about going to hell. Yeah, me and my friends, we're all going to be down in hell together. We're all going to go down there together. We're just going to have a great time. You ain't going to see anybody, friend. You're going to be absolutely alone with millions and millions of others alone in darkness forever. And he says right here, shows it to us from Jonah. David tells it to us in Psalm 139, even in hell I can't escape God. Isn't that amazing? That ought to make you think. You know, a smart man knows when to surrender. Some of you aren't very smart. You're just too stubborn to surrender. You got to hold up your pride and your own will and your own way, and you got to have your way. When all you have to do is surrender to Almighty God, you cannot win.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Nobody wins going against God. You can't run from God because everywhere you go, He's been there ahead of you. You can't run from God because you even get out in the darkness where you can't see another thing, but it's like the light to Him. You can't run from God because God can go anywhere and everywhere that you are. What an amazing thing. Whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I go from thy presence? You ever wanted to? Oh, I have. You know what one of my dreams? One of my dreams is to become a ranger, a forest ranger, taking care of fires out in mountains, just have my wife and my kids and a few bear, grizzly bear, elk and deer and rabbits and a few things like that. And nobody! You ever get tired of people? I do. I've been tired of you many a day. I can get real tired of people. Do you know why? They're people. You want to know the onerous thing to deal with on the face of the earth? It's not rattlesnakes. It's not great white sharks. It's not grizzly bears. It's people. You part of a family? I've got a big family. You know what you got to do with family? Put up with them. Now, everybody in my family is perfect. We don't have to put up with anything because we're all so nice. No, every one of us has a wart right on the end of our nose sticking out here glowing. Everybody sees it. It's our error. It's our fault. It's our mistake. It's our sin. It's our personality. And it offends everybody, even us when we look in the mirror. You can't run from God.
Amen.
You can't run from God. You're just going to have to put up with some things. In fact, it's God's will for you to put up with some things. Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. He hated that bunch of fish-worshipping devils. He did not want to preach there. But God told him where to preach. I preached a few places a few times. I didn't want to stay there. But God told me that's where I had to stay. In fact, about 20 years ago, I was ready to leave you. Head for Russia when they opened up and teach English and start a church in Moscow or some other town around there. Doing a mission conference, and God said, "No, you're here, so I'm stuck with you and you're stuck with me." So you might as well make up your mind to put up with me. Just one amen. Because I've made up my mind to put up with you. You're going to have to put up with me. I'll put up with you. And we're going to have a bad time of it, I know. But it's the will of God for you to learn to put up with some things. Quit running. How about standing and sticking and serving God?
Amen.
Whither shall I go from thy presence? Now, you think I'm the only one that ever thought like that? Turn to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 66.
Amen.
Now, Jesus didn't mince words. He preached hard doctrine. Many times when he preached hard doctrine, people did not like it. He actually called his enemies snakes, vipers. He spoke to their face. How in the world could they escape the damnation of hell? Him and John the Baptist were not real soft preachers. They would not have had great congregations of 25,000 every Sunday morning to listen to them. Because they kept running people off. And here when you read in this chapter, he's spoken some very hard doctrine. They don't understand it. They don't like it. And many of his disciples walk no more with him. Now look what he says in verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Hey, you guys going to leave too? Hey, there's a train, there's a bus, they're loading up out there. They're all heading down to Mr. Smooth. They're heading down there to Mr. Easy. They're heading down there to Mr. Nice. They decide it's a little too rough to be around here. Will you also go away? Now listen to what he said. They'd thought about it. You listen to what it says right here. These disciples had thought about it. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Oh, we thought about leaving, Lord. We got no place to go. You know, God's put me in boxes in my life where I couldn't run, where I couldn't move. I couldn't hardly wiggle. He kept me in one box for 5 years. A very, very frustrating time in my life. 5 long years while He worked on my will. While He humbled me. While He said, I want you to do what I want you to do. And I don't want you to worry about what anybody else thinks. You wonder why I'm so hard-headed and stubborn in me? It's God working on me. It's not all my fault. Do you think you can stand up and preach some of the things I preach with all that some people get mad at me? I don't ever preach. Somebody's not mad at me when they walk out the door. I get emails. I get phone calls. I get letters. Like I picked you out individually. Brother Jones, today I'm axing you. And that's what they think. I was preaching a revival in Louisiana, and I was preaching on David and Bathsheba, and a couple walked in just about the time I got up to preach and sat down on the back row, and the preacher's sitting right down here. And the longer I preached, and I was warming to my case, the further he slid down. I mean, he's going down on that pew, you know, until just his head sitting right up here at the pew while I'm preaching that message. After it's over, I said, what in the world was the matter with you? He said, they're going to know I told you everything. He hadn't told me anything. I had no clue who walked in at the back of the door. But God Almighty gave me words to say that nailed their hide to the wall. And they would think, how in the world could he know that? When I got saved, I thought that preacher had been talking to my wife. How could he know those things about me? Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, we thought about it, but we don't have a choice. Lord, it is rough, and we'd like it to have an easier way. We'd like something to be a little better, something a little smoother. We'd like something a little softer. Lord, can you make it easier? To whom shall we go? Bless your heart, some of you thought it. I'm going to quit, man. I'm going to be like Jeremiah. I'm not going to preach anymore. Many a Sunday night, I've just quit preaching. I ain't preaching anymore. I'm through. I'm gone. And then Monday morning, I surrender again. Been doing it 50 years now. started getting used to it. To whom shall we go? Now, have you come to this point? Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? Now, there's thousands of churches in this town. You can just go to any one of them you want to. In fact, some of you ought to go. I had a fellow come time one day and said, would you mind if I started a church across the street? He said, no, I'll give you about 300 names. I'll help you get started. I told a fellow one time, I went out to visit, and I said, well, you know, why don't you come to church? He said, well, you told me you don't want me. I said, I don't remember, this is a person I've known for a long time. I said, I don't remember ever telling you I didn't want you. He said, yes, you did. You got up there in the pulpit and you said, if you're not going to give and you're not going to come and you're not going to pray, I don't want you.
Amen.
I said, well, if you're not going to give and come and pray, I don't want you. What use is your name on the church roll if you don't give a dime, you don't pray, you don't come and fill a pew? What use are you? Go to somebody else's church and mess them up. Leave us alone. We got enough problems.
That's right.
Just trying to put up with each other. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's why I'm here. I'm here because of the preaching of this book right here. I'm here for the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I'm here for the doctrine of salvation, full and free, paid for by Jesus completely, totally, all the way, no part of me in it. And an eternal security that I will never lose. I'm here because God wants me here. And if you're not here for that reason, you might as well leave. Because you won't last. If you haven't come to the place like Peter, Lord, we've thought about leaving, but we don't know where else to go. Mm-hmm. And we're convinced you're the truth.
Amen.
We're convinced you have the words of eternal life. Real salvation. Look in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Verse 21. Romans 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? I could walk around this room. I know enough stories in this room. Some of you I've known for 40 years, longer. Some of you got some stories you could tell. I don't want you to tell them, but you could. You know what you could tell? You could tell about you running from God and what God had to do to you. You can tell about the cost of running from God. About the cost of being stubborn and rebellious. About the cost of not being obedient. About the cost of getting into sin. What fruit had you when you went your way?
That's right.
Testimony after testimony in this room right here. You went your way. You were smarter than the preacher. You were smarter than your parents. You were smarter than your friend. You were smarter than your husband or your wife or your mother or your father. You were smarter. Nobody could tell you anything. What fruit had you then? You're now ashamed. You don't want to tell it. I don't want you to tell it. I don't want to hear about your bad troubles. I got enough of my own. You're now ashamed. You really wouldn't want to tell it if you thought about it because you're ashamed. You got out of the will of God. You let the name of Jesus down. You embarrassed the Lord. You got yourself in sin, and some of it is with you to this day, and you will carry it with you the rest of your life. Praise God, you won't have it in heaven. What fruit had you? I've been rebellious, and I've suffered the fruit. I sowed the seed. I reaped the fruit. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 17. Get to the Psalms, chapter 51. Look at verse 17. I want to give you a bit of wisdom. Here's a man suffered from his fruit. He was a man of God. He was a man with a great heart. This is a man with so much ability, I'm just amazed at his ability. He had the ability of a soldier. He had the ability of a champion, of a gladiator. He had the ability to lead armies. He created musical instruments. Not only could he play well on everything that was there, but he invented other musical instruments. He wrote beautiful lyric poems that were sung by the hundreds. And he got in sin. What chance do you have? He come to a conclusion. Verse 17 is his conclusion. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It's a good thing for you to give money. I believe in it. It's a good thing for you to give time. I believe in it. It's a good thing to submit your will. I believe in it. But let me tell you something, my friend. God wants your heart. You can give all the money you got and God will despise it. You see, it's nothing. Do you realize that when God put the balances out there, He said all of the nations, 7 billion people today, are as the dust on the balance. If you were going to get 10 pounds of potatoes, would you make sure that the salesman wiped the dust off of the balance? Why not? It's nothing. It's negligible. You can't weigh it out. Now, I've been down in Mexico years ago when I was in Mexico, and they carried around two little cups, bowls, with strings on them and a little stick they could fold up and put with their stuff, and they'd weigh you out, your potatoes or your tomatoes or whatever. I don't ever remember saying, get that dust off of there. You're not going to cheat me that way. No. No. Understand me. You're dealing with God. You know what God wants? He doesn't want your lip service. Oh, yeah, I believe in the Lord. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. He doesn't need your advertisement. He wants your heart. And He wants what comes out of your mouth when it comes from your heart. He wants a broken spirit. Has God ever broken you? He wants a contrite heart. That's His sacrifice. You want revival? You want the Spirit of God to move upon your life? You need to get a broken and a contrite heart. You want God not to despise what you give Him? You remember Malachi, he's talking about you're going to go give a gift to the governor? Or just Mayor Hardberger of a million people city. He's a pretty honorable job in this country. And not but a few people that are mayors of a great big city. Take Brother Hardberger out and give him some old rotten tomatoes. Take him out with, pick out of the trash can and get him what's left of a McDonald's burger and see if he'll treat you honorably. Mm-hmm. He'd despise it. You would despise it. That's the way you treat God. He said He wants a broken and a contrite heart. You want to find the way to God? This is the way to God. Your stubborn pride will not sit well with God. And whatever God's dealing with you, and I don't know what it is, I know He's dealing with every one of you. And some of you are just as stubborn as Jonah. And you're sitting up in your pride. I don't have to do that. Who, me? Me? Little old me? I'm out of the will of God. Who are you to talk to me? You sit up in your self-righteousness.
and you resist every move of the Spirit of God to draw you into a place of fellowship and service and power. Victory. You better humble yourself. Get rid of that stubborn will. Bow that stiff neck. And get on your face with a broken heart. Out of how you've let God down. If you're here not saved, bow that stubborn head. Humble yourself before the God of heaven. He's everywhere. He's here today. He's here, right here today. You can reach Him. He can be found if you'll come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart. Let's sing number 249. Let's stand.